Not that long ago, I had the opportunity to sit in the original edifice of the Mother Church in Boston, the First Church of Christ Zionist, and it is truly a wonderful space to be in. I noticed something I hadn't seen before. Above the platform, above the organ pipes, three words at the very top in gold: God is love. So simple and so often cited that, I don't know, maybe I took it for granted. Yet in that moment, I was so deeply moved by the depth of that idea, the idea that, well, God is love. How do you say it more simply? That love isn't just an attribute of God. God is love. Nor is it some abstraction. And not only do we see it demonstrated all around us, but that in a way, it can be a kind of wake-up call, maybe even a call to action. Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. So let me ask you, what does love mean to you? If we could understand love better, what would that mean for you, for me, for your family, for the world? John Qualtrough has spent much of his life thinking about this. He is in the public practice of Christian Science Healing. He's a journal-listed Christian Science practitioner from the San Francisco Bay Area. John, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
You know, I guess people think about love in a lot of different ways. The love we have for our kids, the love we feel from our parents, the love we may feel for someone else, maybe even the love we have for animals or a beautiful painting. What does love mean to you?
That's such an important question, because traditionally we do think about love as being something we like or something that likes us.
Something we really like. Love, right?
Yeah, that's right. Now, like, you know, just bring up the subject of ice cream, I'm ready to go. But just in the last few weeks, I've been pondering something much more difficult, I think, to comprehend. You're talking about looking up on the wall of the church. Almost every Christian Science church has that saying that divine love always has met and always will meet every human need.
Yeah, something Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, a Christian Science textbook.
And so we're real happy to have that divine love meeting the human need. But what about the experience of just experiencing love itself, which is God himself? It's a whole different world to explore. And one way I've done it for myself is by taking more time alone. I've been taking time to drive up to Yosemite National Park and just started hiking early in the morning at daybreak. And I get way high in the mountains and just sit on a flat rock and try to feel God's presence speaking to me. And that's just a beautiful way to try to capture what life really is to feel God's love in your life individually. And I think it's important to see that God is impelling all that we do. I'm also having to be willing to bring the very essence, the best I can, to the table. And that's my sense of God as love.
Interesting. I think many of us have had that experience of feeling like you have found a touch of what you're talking about, sort of feeling that sense of being closer to God in those moments when you feel close to love, and it often does come in those quiet moments. But I also think about people who may feel like they are unloved, people who may feel far from love, may feel distant, and maybe going out into the woods might make them feel even more distant still. What would you say to someone who feels like, you know, that's my problem, I don't feel close to love?
I would be very practical in speaking to them, because the last thing they need is an abstraction.
Yeah.
And you're right. I do a lot of work with the homeless. If I met somebody in one of the homeless camps, I wouldn't suggest they take a trip to Yosemite and enjoy the nature.
Right.
I would sit next to them and say, that's why I'm here. You're there for them. That's practical Christianity.
Let's dig a little deeper here. How does love lead to healing?
I had an experience as a young man, maybe I was 16 years old, where I felt God's love for me. You know, everybody needs a purpose in life. Really, what we're looking for is to live a life that has meaning and purpose. So God loves us enough to give us, I would say, a holy purpose. And when I was 16, I was very physically active. I was a skydiver and a scuba diver and rode in rodeos. Well, one day I was out riding on a racetrack and the horse bolted over the railing and I hit a light pole in the back and I was paralyzed from the waist down.
Wow.
They brought me to my parents' home and we called a local friend who was also a Christian Science practitioner and she prayed with us. But I wasn't able to move my lower body for a couple of days. And so as a young man reaching out to understand God's love, I opened to hymn number 324 in the Christian Science hymnal. The first stanza says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love." And the clincher was the second verse, "Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee." And the way that struck me was, we don't just live for our own personal pleasure, no matter how much fun we're having in life. We live to benefit others. And I feel that was a real transformational healing. God loved me enough to give me a holy purpose. And that was a seed that was planted when I was 16 years old, and I've continued to cultivate it over the years. God loves me enough to give me a purpose.
Were you healed?
The moment that hymn struck me, I could move my toes. I didn't jump out of bed and run around the room, but I could move my toes. Interestingly enough, we lived in a house that was adobe. So it was mud walls. And I reached up and touched the wall with my toe and it felt great.
Wow.
But that just opened my thought. And I'd say it maybe the next two or three days, I was completely up and about and, you know, went on with the activities I had, the skydiving and I rode bulls and rodeos and things like that. So, it was a complete healing.
That is a remarkable experience to have. You know, it's interesting to me, you mentioned that hymn and there's something about that connection that sort of implies a selflessness that is, in the human experience, I guess, we think of it almost as a kind of service. Let me be, instead of asking God for for the healing, almost let me do what you will. What you, of course, I'm referencing God there. Something about that embrace of love that seems to be really at the heart of what we're touching on here, don't you think?
Very much so. You describe it very, very well, and it's something that needs our deep, deep consideration if we're going to see the full benefit of what Christian Science can do to bring healing to the world.
What does it mean to be of service, I guess, if that's not overstating it?
I think we need to take seriously what our capability is. There was a preacher, and he had this saying that he used in his sermons sometimes. Christians are like deep sea divers, encased in suits, capable of taking them thousands of leagues deep, and they're marching forth boldly to pull out plugs and bathtubs. I think we need to be focused on deeper transformational healing that lets us become the person God intends us to be.
I said earlier that I felt in that moment looking up at God as love, almost a call to action. And I guess that's what love does, doesn't it? It calls us to action. And in those moments, maybe perhaps we're feeling a need for healing. By turning to love, in a sense, we are being called to act.
It doesn't leave you where it finds you. It's like, if you were being swept up in a river of joy, it just carries you downstream. I think our tendency is to lean on our human talents. And it's natural because they're natural talents. We can do things well. But, you know, if I was not turning to God as divine love, I'd run out of energy. It would just be my own human effort. And I think that came to me when I joined the Air Force as a Christian Science chaplain, because prior to that, what I did was fairly easy to accomplish. I worked in the restaurant industry and I did farming and ranching and I just enjoyed it all, but it was never a real challenge. Mm. I brought to my Air Force chaplaincy all my energy and joy and creativity, and it was well appreciated. My first 6 months on active duty, I was nominated to be the chaplain of the year. That might sound nice on the surface, but it wasn't a good idea. I was overdoing my emotional enthusiasm for my job and not demonstrating my spirituality.
That's really interesting.
Well, my first year on active duty in the Air Force, for the first time in my life, I faced incredible physical pain. What I woke one morning and I just couldn't get out of bed. There was so much pain across my back and shoulders. But it took me a while to get over to my desk. And when I did, I opened up Miscellaneous Writings, the collection of writings by Mary Baker Eddy, and it fell open to a little more grace, a motive made pure, a few truths tenderly told, a heart softened, a character subdued, a life consecrated, would restore the right action of the mental mechanism and make manifest the movement of body and soul in accord with God. Well, that statement was transformational for me, and it wasn't an instantaneous healing, but I was able to drive to work that day, sit in my swivel chair and meet with the clients who came in and do the work I had to do as a chaplain. But I realized that those statements were things that needed to be transformational in my life. So as I began to cherish those deeper qualities, I felt myself becoming a deeper person, and that healing still goes on to this day, feeling quieter, calmer, clear-minded, more devoted. So that healing that started some years ago is still ongoing, but physically, I was completely free within a day, and I'm grateful for that. God met the need.
Wow.
Mary Baker Eddy, in a letter, she said, "Love is the only and all of attainments in spiritual growth. Without it, healing is not done and cannot be, either morally or physically. Every advanced step will show you this until the victory is won and you possess no other consciousness but love divine." That's in a collection of writings from a biography of Mary Baker Eddy's entitled Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Healer. And that really stood out to me the other day when I was contemplating more what love means. Without love, there isn't healing. Without love, there isn't substance to life. And, you know, when you look at some of Ms. Eddy's major, you know, presentations along this line, you look at things like Pond and Purpose. She describes the immersion of human consciousness in the infinite ocean of love. That's the goal.
Pond and Purpose is it's a chapter within Mary Baker Eddy's Miscellaneous Writings. She's actually, if you read Pond and Purpose, it begins with Mary Baker Eddy thanking her students for a physical pond at her home, Pleasant View. But then it moves on to its symbolic meaning as a kind of a reflection of love and spiritual growth. I find myself quite often looking for those, the symbolic meaning of things in my experience. And I guess in a way, sometimes when we see these expressions of love, we're also seeing that sort of smile, aren't we?
Yes. And I think she referred to the pond as a smile, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering, though, there are people who feel like maybe love has gone out of their life. Maybe they just feel like they're alone. I think sometimes people can feel like they're looking at an open space. And I'm I'm curious, how can we find that love in our lives when it sometimes feels like it's not there, in a sense?
We need to learn to present an argument against negative thought. And negative thought says man is isolated and all alone. The truth is man is at one with God. So we need to cherish how we demonstrate that or how we prove it in our own life. But one way is to affirm it's true. And often opening up the Bible or opening up the Christian Science textbook can guide you to a statement that makes you feel connected. And then as you connect to God, you connect more fully to the world around you.
Something else that struck me sometimes, and that is that sometimes when you feel an absence of good, it can be enough to want to see good, to yearn for it, to have that sense of, I need this, I want this. And that can be that light switch that turns it on. But it often requires rejecting that thought that, no, I can't do that. You have to have that sort of earnest, what is it Mrs. Eddy uses, that earnest longing?
Mm-hmm. Yes. When the heart yearns to know the Father, you know the Father. But it's a deep yearning, a deep desire. It's not superficial. You know, there's a humorous description of a pastor who is baptizing one of his congregants. And when he put him underwater, he held him under there, and the guy was struggling to get air. And when he got up and got his air, the pastor said, when you want to know God as fully as you wanted to get that fresh air, you'll know God. And I think there is some truth to that. If we want God to fix our problems, that's not the same as wanting God to touch my heart.
And sometimes, as I was saying a little earlier, God, the word God, can feel like an abstraction. And yet, we've all had that experience in our life when we've felt very powerfully that presence of love. And one of the things that we find in the Bible is that reassurance that it's not that love isn't there. It's you can't be separated from it. What a wonderful reassurance that God is love, that God's ever presence implies that love is there.
And God is calling us. You know, when you realize that, you start listening. God is calling each individual. Mrs. Eddy used a beautiful phrase that I've always cherished. She says, each individual must fill his own niche in time and eternity. That statement's from her retrospection, introspection, her autobiography about herself. But she saw her purpose. She saw we each had a purpose. And isn't that how Christianity started? Was Jesus saying to the fishermen, follow me. So that was the invitation. Are each of us willing to say yes? We'll leave what we're doing and we'll follow you. And that's exactly what Mr. Eddy did. But we need to say, yes, we will follow. We'll find our own niche in time and eternity. And when we find that niche, we find that love that sometimes feels like it's missing. Just the other day, a good friend of mine, he does something that I'm sure a few of our listeners do. He bales hay and delivers it. And that's a big, hearty job if you haven't ever tried doing it. But he had to make a delivery that was very important to get the payment from that delivery to the bank and so forth. So he called and let me know as a friend to help pray for him because he wanted to be successful. And all kinds of little things came up that were going to delay him. The truck started spurting oil and it started happening. And then he got to the house where the hay was to be delivered. And the young man who normally is there to help him unload it, and it takes about 3 hours. The young man didn't feel well, so he left. So here he is with his big load of hay to unload. But he was a man who has great faith in God, and he just trusted God would guide him. And sure enough, God showed him a different way to stack the hay that cut down the time it took. So he's able to do in 3 hours by himself what it usually took two men to do. Then he was off to make his bank deposit and everything was fine. But when he shared the experience with me, it was so much more than just getting the hay stacked and getting the payment in on time. It was about feeling God was right with him in fulfilling every step of his day and meeting his needs in every way possible.
John Qualtro is in the public practice of Christian Science. He's a journalisted Christian Science practitioner from the San Francisco Bay Area. John, it has been lovely getting a chance to say hello to you and talk with you on Sentinel Watch today. Thanks so much for joining us.
David, you're a great moderator for this kind of dialogue. Thank you. I admire it very much. Thank you.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noah Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.